What's good, Flavor Fest family? We're back with another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 25. That's right, we've been getting it in all year. We've been on the Flavor Fest tour this year. I have a huge announcement to make today. I'm not going to make it right yet, so you got to stick around for a few minutes, but I got this amazing announcement, some big news for Flavor Fest in 2024. That's right. So stick around for a minute. But we got a brother on the Leadership Podcast today that will be at Flavor Fest 2023. He's going to be right here in Tampa, Florida, getting it in with us. He's going to be doing a workshop. He did music last year. He's got an incredible testimony, an incredible story. So we're going to get this thing popping, y'all. Let some people know about it. Go ahead, subscribe to the channel if you haven't. Like it. Let some people know about this, share this, get it around. We want to pour into and impact urban leaders. So welcome to the podcast. Let's go.
Welcome to the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Colonna.
What's good, family? Glad you guys are tapping into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. I was about to say conference. We regularly are bringing powerful urban leaders on here, pastors, church planners, artists, movement makers, people that are entrepreneurs that are shaping change and transformation in their communities. And so I hope you guys will be encouraged. Go back and watch some of the other episodes as well. But today, we got a brother on here that is making a huge difference in his city. We're taking you all the way to the N.O., New Orleans. And so we got my man, Pastor Andy Rebirth. Let's go.
Wow. What's
up, brother? He had to start out with that New Orleans flavor. Some of y'all don't even know. But there's a lot of New Orleans slang, man. Give us a little bit of that N.O. slang.
Whoa, hey, what's down? Today is a good day. You heard me? Rejoice, for today is the day the Lord has made. You dig?
You dig? You heard me? What? Yo, that's all some of the staple New Orleans slang. And I know about some of that. Shout out to my guy, Corey Hicks.
Yeah, that's the bro right there.
Yeah, man. Corey would always talk to me like that, man. Put on, of course, D1 as well. You listen to D1. He definitely got that N.O. Flavor, that N.O. gumbo in his talk. Yeah, man. Well, bro, it's good to have you on here, man.
It's good to be here, brother.
Yeah, man. So the thing I love about you too, bro, is we have that thing in common that we are artists, and we're also pastoring in the urban community as well. So you're not just a hip-hop artist, but you're a pastor. And so, man, you are serious about ministry, about, you know, seeing lives changed. And, you know, you're doing the work right there in the community. You're not just on a mic in a studio. Like, you're out there in these streets, and you're pouring into people's lives throughout the week. You're shepherding people. And so, man, props to you. Been hearing about you for years. And then, of course, we linked up, you know, a couple years ago and just been hearing about your church, man. I can't wait to come down there and see what y'all are doing in person.
Amen. Yeah, we definitely got to get you down there.
Yeah, man, we've been talking about it. We're going to make it happen, though, soon. But man, so you're a pastor and an artist now. But, man, you got a story behind that because you should have never been a pastor. I should have never been a pastor. But man, talk about what it was like, man, growing up in New Orleans. I know you grew up, you know, in the urban context, in the hood, and there was a lot of stuff pulling you off the right track. And so talk a little bit about that story and then what pulled you on the right track.
Amen. You know, it's funny, you said hood, you know what I'm saying? And you know, that's what they call it, the hood, right? And just getting a revelation of that is because the devil wants to remove the neighbor, you know, because we're supposed to be our neighbors.
That's
so he gets the neighbor out and they just call it the hood because there's no genuine love. You know, like in New Orleans and on the West Bank, you know, they are, you know, there's principalities, right? And everybody talking about Cutthroat, you know what I'm saying? Soulja Slim, you know, he come up with Cutthroat Committee, you know, everything was cutthroat. And that principality, you know, this power of death and life in the tongue, and it's real cutthroat. But if you go looking at the spiritual aspect of it, see, in Jackson Square, whenever they had the slave trade, they would bring the slaves to the port of New Orleans, and that's where they would divide and conquer. Like, so they would have, like, where they had Jackson Square, where they had the cathedral, they had a mass assassination where they was decapitating and they was taking the sons from the fathers and the mothers. And, you know, then we got the second line because there was a port to where they was able to see family that they hadn't seen in a while, but then they would be divided. And just looking at it in the spirit, New Orleans is so divided. Like, I was a Latin king. I got jumped in the Latin kings when I was 14, 15 years old. But then, even with the Latin Kings, you know, it came from Chicago, but they had different chapters. I was a part of the New Orleans chapter, but they had a New Orleans chapter, a Kenner chapter, a Metairie chapter. But then even the Latin Kings started beefing amongst one another because of that spirit of division. So then, like, gang culture couldn't live in the city, so it was divided into wards, right? But even the projects, like, when you look at the projects, like, everybody knows about, you know, the Calio for Master P, right? I used to live on Johnson and Jackson, like, right there by the Calio. I ran with the Cut Boys. That was all C-Murders and them, C-Murders click. But anyway, even in the project, back of town would beef with front of town. Even in the St. Tome, like in the Magnolia, they had different cliques within the ward, and then the wards would go against other wards. Now take it to the spirit, being saved, not knowing they had all of this division, like the name of our ministries, One Accord. And when I get out the program, the church is so divided. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about not even, you know, not to mention Pentecostal, Baptist, and Catholic, and you know, these different sects, but even within the same, even if they both not, and then take it a step further, even within the body, but you know, but man, I'm believing in revival in our city, and I'm standing on that, and God is really unifying the body. It might not be a lot of them, but when you look at Gideon, it only took 300, you know what I'm saying? So, to go back, man, you know, like I said, I was 14. Like, I caught my first felony when I was 13. We was all, you probably remember the era of Jabos, right? The striped Jabos.
Oh, yeah, man. I had some of those. They was real baggy and then tight at the bottom, right?
No more.
So, if you got a pair, save them. They're going to come back. Everything in fashion comes back around.
Okay. No, they might. You know what I mean? You might have that. Yeah, everything does come back. But it was stealing Jabos, man. Stealing Jabos, bringing it back to the hood and selling them. So we got caught. Boom. I got out 15. They kicked my mama's door in possession of a stolen weapon. Then went to Revard. Then we got out on house arrest. And, you know, like, just thinking how blind the enemy has you because of the culture. Like, you know, just listening to this music, looking at these movies, eye gaze, ear gaze, being infatuated with this lifestyle. So then, you know, you are what you eat. So whatever you feed your mind, you're going to become. You know, so I started really doing all of that stuff, and I thought it was cool. Like, we all went to Revard, and we all went to jail after school, and then we all got out and got to go back to school, and we were all on house arrest. And wearing your clothes to where the house arrest monitor would be showing, like, it was cool.
It was a badge of honor.
But think, like, looking back, I was like, man, how could I have thought that was cool? What about my mama that couldn't sleep at night, that's watching her young boy flip out, that she had all of these dreams and aspirations for, you know what I'm saying? So, just tussling with that. Then I was 16, me and my dad got in a fight, and he's like, you think you a man, you know, go, you know? So I left, you know, I'm hustling. I started hustling, selling weed, and because of Easter coming, not knowing it's Resurrection Sunday, the culture tried to pimp everything from the gospel. Now I'm selling drugs so I could get a fresh outfit for Easter. I just thought of that just now. I'm like, man, that's crazy. But you know, then when I got pushed out, I started selling crack, and You know, I'm out here, I'm hustling all night. Then I get caught with on the first degree attempted murder, 3 counts of aggravated assault, 1 count of aggravated criminal damage, gang related. I get charged as an adult. I'm in there now. I get my juvenile PO handed me over to the adult system. I was able to get a bond reduction after 4 months, made bond, completed my juvenile paper community service. The lady, I still remember her name, Ms. Williams. She was so cool. So she terminated me and handed me over to the adult system so I wouldn't have to bag juvenile time up and then still face all charges. So then I'm going there. So now I'm in there, and I remember, man. I read the whole Bible when I was in there. Now, I had a grandmother that really sowed these seeds in me. You know, like, we were sick, she would lay hands on me. She would pray in tongues. You know what I'm saying? Like, this lady eat, sleep, bleed, and breathe the Bible. Like, like the war room owes her royalties because she had a war room before the movie. You hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a mustard seed of faith. Yep. And I remember being in there. I'm on the third floor on the project pod, you know, with all of the gangs in there. I'm the youngest one on there fighting and doing all. But then, you know, once I would fight, like, that was a wrap. And then I, you know, got with a click or whatever. But I remember when the doors were closed, when the cell bars were closed at night, I would go to the bars and I would get the light off of the hallway and read the Bible. And I read the whole Bible when I was in there at 16. I made 17. 17, I was in there. But
wow.
I just read it. I read it like a novel. Like, I don't know who's watching this. Like, yeah. Not just read. Like, if you read a chapter and you didn't, not even a chapter. If you read a couple of verses and you can't remember nothing that was in that verse, go back and read that verse again. Yeah. As a pastor, sometimes I'll read the same chapter 7 times before I can even attain what was in that chapter, because my mind, I just thinking about so many things and responsibilities and all. And then I realize, I'm like, man, what did I just read? I'm like, no, that devil's trying to steal. There's something in this chapter that I need.
Yeah.
That I need today, because it's
read
a living.
Read it again. Life. Study it.
So what, then,
what was some of the stuff, Rebirth, that, like, when you were reading that, that jumped out to you when you were there, like, locked up as a teenager? Do you remember, like, maybe something in particular, like, yo?
When it was in the Psalms, like, crying out, like, I'm going through this and I'm afflicted. Yeah. And it's like feeling like restoring to me the joy of your salvation. And then it was like, my enemies laugh at me. And it was just I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, man, this, yeah. And then Job, I can't even like tell you, I started looking at Job. I'm like, man, I'm tripping about these charges. Look at this dude went through.
Yeah. And the average person doesn't even know, like, all that stuff that's in there. When they start to actually dive in and dig in, they're like, yo, there's actually stuff in here that's relevant to my life. And, man, yes. I didn't know people were crying out and were mad at God or questioning God or, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's in the Bible. Like, not saying you do it in a disrespectful way, but God can take it when you have questions for him, you know? And so, man, that's good.
I always tell people, I'm like, man, it's all right to have questions for God. We can't question God. It's like a difference. It's like delegating authority. It's like a detective questioning you. He has authority to do that. You know what I'm saying? As a child, we can ask him whatever we want. It doesn't mean he's going to answer it. And I tell people, as your maturity level rises, the more God can reveal to you. You know, like my little one, he's asking, hey, Dad, how did I get here? I was like, oh, man, you come from your mama. Well, how'd I get in my mama? We're going to talk about that later. You too young, you don't even understand what you're asking me right now. You know what I'm saying? But as he matures, you were going to have that conversation, you know? And I tell people, like, you got questions for God. You got things under, just grow in grace, you know, just get in your word. And the more you mature, the more he can entrust you with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I read the whole Bible in there, but like I said, it was a mustard seed of faith because I didn't really attain nothing, but I knew enough to know the power was in that book. I just didn't know about relationship and all of that. And then God moved in that situation, man. I ended up getting charged as a first offender because I got handed over to the adult system. I got credit for time served, and I ended up getting out 17, 18. I was out 18, 19, and then with a suspended sentence, credit for time served, and then I went to back to prison 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. I got out 26, 27. I went back 28, 29. I got out 31, 32. I overdosed on heroin for the third time. I was looking at a life sentence, my third felony conviction. You know what I'm saying? They say three strikes and you're out. But man, God, them three strikes brought my deliverance.
Man, so it wasn't until you were in your 30s that you really fully got on point. And then what was that turning point like? Then that really, like, because I know there might be some people that are out there even listening to this, and they're like, man, like, I always, like, I get with God, but then I slide back, or I, you know, like, what was that thing? Because I know I had a season in my life, it wasn't that long at all, but as an older teenager, you know, I just would come back to God and then mess up, come back to God, mess up. I got to this point, I felt like, man, God can't use me. I always mess up. I always fall back. Like, and we can get that, the enemy can put that in our heads. Like, God can't use you. Look how many times you fell. Look how many times you tried to pray this prayer before. And look, you still went back to your old ways. So, man, so talk about what was that final transformation in your 30s. And then, man, I mean, how old are you, bro? That wasn't even that long ago, man. Like, you don't have to tell your age if you don't want to, but you know.
42.
So this was really like just a decade ago that you were really getting your life turned around, man. And look how far God has brought you, bro, in just 10 years. Wow.
Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, man. So in the midst of, all right, so after I did the 5 years flat and I came home, my grandma, she was real pivotal in my walk. Like, I'm reaping the harvest of the field she labored in. Mm. So I remember coming home, and that when I had came home at that time, I was dealing with the cartel, bringing it back from Houston. I'm dealing with, you know, if you ever heard of Soldier Slim, you know, he was already dead. He got killed when I was in prison, but I was running with his cousins, you know, one of his cousins in the feds. And he said he's coming straight to church when he gets out and he should be released slick. He should be released within a year. But anyway, I'm dealing with the drug game. I'm pimping. I got three females in the house, and I was a mess, man. And you know, and some people think, you obtain this, like the devil's such a liar. Like, if you obtain this, then you're going to invest and you're going to do this. Yeah, it's like, book ahead, guys. Like, you got holes in your pocket because you can stop constructing the temple within, you know? So, and I didn't have peace, man. And the things that I aspired to reach and I would touch, and I still didn't have peace because, you know, the Lord refuses to satisfy the craving of the wicked. But so this was a real dark, dark place in my life. And I remember my grandma, like, saying, Andy, you're going to be good. And I'm like, what you mean I'm going to be good? She was like, God showed me something. I was like, well, what he showed you? Because I don't see nothing. And she was like, what? She's like, he's going to show you. He's going to show you. I'm like, Abuela, you need to tell me what you saw. Like, for real. Like, because I'm lost. I don't see nothing. And she was like, sit down. So I sit down. She was like, I was in church and I was praying and I looked up and you was on the pulpit preaching. I was like, what? So then I was
like, oh, you tripping, grandma?
Yeah. Man, I was like, pobrecita. I was like, poor baby. She fell asleep in church. She was daydreaming. Like, I was like, preaching, I'm not even saved. Like, if you knew that half of what I was doing, but she knew who she was in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Knew her petition was not only for my salvation, she would pray that I would be a mover and shaker for the kingdom of God, you know, and she knew she was in Christ, and she stood on that. Man, I ended up going back to prison, and when I went back to prison, she died when I was in prison, and I couldn't even go to the funeral because I was doing, the warden was trying to get me to tell him how he was getting the cell phones in because they knew I had a cell phone, but they couldn't ever catch me with it. So, and just my code of honor, being so loyal to a street that's not loyal to nobody, I couldn't even go to my grandma's funeral.
Man.
That still messes with me sometimes, you know, because it's like I kept it so real with something that's a delusion that doesn't keep it real with nobody. And I couldn't even go to my grandma's funeral, man. But anyway, you know, I remember, I get out, you know, and then fast forward, I'm saved. And I remember winning the NOLA Gospel Rap Artist of the Year. And I was like, man, I wish my grandma could have seen this. You know, like the enemy always wants to steal the praise off your lips. He don't want to give you a moment of happiness, especially. So I'm looking around. And I'm like, man, none of my family's here. And I was like, man, I know my grandma would have been here. And man, I wish my grandma would have seen this. And then as I'm having that little pity party and missing the moment that God was giving me, man, the Holy Spirit just said, she saw this before you.
Yeah. I was like, oh. That's right, bro. And you are living her legacy, bro.
Yes,
bro. I know from heaven. Well, I don't know if she could see it right in this very moment, but she's going to see, and she's going to be super proud, bro. And she planted those seeds and prayed for you. And Amen. Look, man, it came to fruition, man.
Amen.
That's what's up, man.
So it's these things that I draw on after, you know, because, like, so that in the midst of me doing time, my little girl, Haley, and keep on praying, man. She gave her life to Christ not too long ago. I brought her to this event, and she came back the next day. She was on fire. Right now, she's on her journey, you know. But anyway, that was my firstborn. She's 24 years old, you know. So at this time, she was 2 years old when I went to prison. So at this time, she was like 6 years old. I had to been down 4 years. And I was on maximum security. I did 23 months in solitary confinement in a one-man cell on extended lockdown.
Bro, but how did you stay sane, man, being in solitary confinement, bro? That just is crazy. I think about that, and I'm like, if I had to be in one little space and I couldn't get out, man, I would be, like, super claustrophobic. Like,
no, 23 months. Like, I heard people... One time, this guy three cells down, I heard him kill himself. I heard him hang himself, and you could, and whoever's watching, whoever's sharing, don't never let the enemy lie to you and make you feel like the moment you're in is your destiny, like the destination you're in is your destiny. Yeah. God has a plan, and that's why you're still breathing.
That's right.
Because even when he did that, you can hear him. Like, it sounded like somebody was fighting in the cell, and we was in one man's cells because we was on solitary confinement, because he was trying to get his feet back up on the table because he changed his mind at the last minute. Mm. But he ended up dying. But man, what the outlet for me was reading, and I had never read a whole book. Like, give you, when I was in school, I would do enough to get by. I would read the beginning, I'd read the thing in the back, you know, and a little bit of pages in the middle.
Just the cliff notes.
yeah, just enough to get by, you know, because I just always thinking, and I could never really get into reading. But when I was in that hole, they had a library cart that they would pass Saturday morning, early in the morning. And then I started reading books. And then, man, I ended up reading the entire library cart, you know. And then I had all kinds of books. I had, you know, Sun Tzu, Art of War, you know, 48, like anything you could think of, I could get my hands on. I was reading, you know, I read on the Quran. I read on Buddhism. I had everything in the Bible. And the last thing, you know, I read the whole Bible when I was a teenager. Yeah. But I was engulfed in reading all of this other
stuff. Researching.
Raps, writing, like, by the time I would finish a rap, like, when I was stressed, that rap was an outlet, because I would just put it on paper, and by the time I was finished, I wouldn't stress no more, and then I would just rap the rap to everybody on the pod, because we couldn't see each other, but we could hear each other. Mm-hmm. So that was an outlet. We would just start battle rapping back and forth for hours, you know, but it was like, that's when I really got serious about my craft in writing, you know. And in this particular moment when I was on solitary, you know, it's 23 and 1. If they decide to bring you on the yard, but the yard was just a kennel. it was just another cage that you would go in, but you at least you could walk like 8 feet, but you was fully restrained with a belt, handcuffs, with shackles, and then they would lock you in another gate that you get to walk around. And then you get 15 minutes to shower, but they would put a belt, handcuffs, shackles. They take the shackles, they take the belt and the handcuffs off, but they leave the shackles on and put you in another cage to shower. So I'm going on visit, but I'm a maximum security prisoner, so I'm fully restrained. And then it was behind, they had, by me being in cell block A, instead of having a whole glass, they just put these partitions up with plexiglass, mm-hmm. but it was like your people was right on the other side. So me and the correctional officer, me and him was cool at the time, so he let me hold my little girl. She's 6 years old, so I'm holding her. So as I'm holding her, and I remember we talking, and she's like, "Daddy, what this is?" Mm. And she grabs my handcuffs. Mm. And I said, oh, baby, that's my bracelets. You don't see Daddy shining? Because there was like brand new cuffs. Yeah. I was like, "You don't see Daddy shining?" So she looks, and she's like, "Well, Daddy, what this is?" And then she grabs my shackles. Yeah. So I start making them jump like a jump rope, like with my feet together, and it was going like this. And I was like, "Oh, that's my jump rope." She looks, she said, "You look stuck. You look stuck." Mm-hmm. So then she asked me again, Daddy, what is this?" I said, "Handcuffs." She said, "Daddy, what is this?" And she grabs my shackles. I said, "Shackles." Mm-hmm. She says, "Why they got you like that?" I said, "Because Daddy was being bad, and this is Daddy's punishment." Mm-hmm. Man, she looks at me. Beautiful little girl. She looks at me. She's like, "Daddy, promise me that you're not going to be bad anymore, because I need you home. I need you home with me. I need you home with me, Daddy." I couldn't even really, like, in my head, I'm just thinking I'm about to start this empire when I get out. And then she's telling me to promise her I'm not going to be bad anymore. And then she starts asking me, "Daddy, what?" Because she's mixed. "Daddy, what color's Mom? What color are you?" And then she said, so "Daddy, what color am I? Like, what color am I?" She didn't even know who she was, because her father wasn't in her life. Ooh. Wow. I look at it like the world don't know who they are, yep. because they're not in their father's life.
I don't preach, baby.
There's this identity crisis, you know, because how can you know who you are unless you know who created you, the image that you were created in? Man, I remember going in that cell that night, and I got on my knees, and I cried out to the, I cried. Nobody saw me because it was solitary, you know, one man cell. But I cried out to the Lord, and I cried out like I didn't want to live like that. I wanted to be there for my daughter. And I went out, and I went right back to my vomit, and I ended up going right back to prison. But all of these things was pivotal, because when I did get saved, now on my third felony conviction, I was trying to do it in my own strength. I was with my girl, which is my wife right now. We've been married for 10 years. We've been together for 12 years. You know what I'm saying? And we got married. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. So anyway, me and her was together, and we have a little boy. Our little boy, Alexander, was born with polycystic kidney disease. There's no cure for the disease. Mm. Life expectancy, 3 months. Babies that are born with this disease die in 3 months. That's the life expectancy, because the kidneys have produced multiple cysts, so they don't function. So without the function of the kidney not producing urine, they have to do a transplant, but the baby's too small. The immune system's not up to par to endure such an extensive procedure. So basically they die in 3 months. So, and he wasn't producing urine. Everybody started praying for urine. Next thing you know, he started producing. The doctor said, "Stop praying for urine now. Stop praying for this." So He's 11 years old right now. You know, he's about to be 12 years old. Like, the devil is a liar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah, with this disease, like a quick praise report that we just got last month. Last year, his liver was up to 9.6, basically going into liver failure, because what happens is when one organ's not working correctly,
it leans on the other.
You know, so anyway, when he went for his other checkup and ultrasound, his liver is now at 7.77.
Let's go.
Seven is the number of the Lord, right?
Let's go.
The number, look, they went down, but with this disease, it only goes up.
Yeah.
So the doctor, the specialist was like, I got to talk to another doctor because I don't understand these numbers. Now my wife is discovered.
I've never seen this before.
Not understanding. And now she's like, because at first it was like it was more severe. But look, he called back. He's like, no, it is. Yeah, his elbows are actually getting better. So anyway, so I'm fighting. You know, I'm trying to do right in my own strength. I got this son that loves, and he runs up to me like there's a special bond between me and him. Mm. And then, and me and her, like I really loved her, and I never really thought I could love a one woman. I always, you know, like, you know, with the culture and everything that
we put. You gotta have multiple side chicks, all that stuff.
You think like, there's no way you could be faithful to one woman. You know what I'm saying? There was something about her. I knew I loved her. It's just, I didn't know how to love. So I started trying to do right. My cousin, he gets popped by the feds in Houston. $290,000, conspiracy, 13 kilos. So that shut everything down. I remember climbing, like, man, it was, so everything shut down. I started trying to work. I'm trying to be with her. My son has this disease. So now I'm trying to do right in my own strength. Yeah. You know, and then I end up overdosing for the third time because that's when I realized I had a problem because I stopped hustling because it's hot. Like, you know, I'm not, but you know, if they grabbed him, I know they looking and all that. So I started trying to work and then, man, I end up overdosing in the gas station. Self-righteousness. I don't want to bring the drugs home. So I go get the drugs, go into the gas station, lock the door. The manager loses the key. The guy I'm with trying to kick the door in, but it's a steel door and a steel frame. They can't find the key to unlock it. I'm dead on the floor. They call the fire department, the police department, the ambulance. They cut through the door with the jaws of steel and hit me with two shots of Narcan to bring me back.
Yeah.
I don't come through till I'm in the hospital and I have more drugs on me. And I remember seeing the officer in front, but looking, and I wasn't cuffed. I just had IVs hanging out my arm. So I'm playing possum. I'm waiting for him to move because I'm like, as soon as he moves, I got to get out of here. I got more drugs on me. I already got two felony convictions, you know? So then as soon as he moved to help somebody that came in that was being belligerent, they were drunk and the nurses was having problems. So he moved to go help them. I jump up. I rip the IVs out of my arm. I break out running. I made it out one door. But the other door, they had to buzz you out of the other door. By that time, they grabbed me. God of closed doors and open doors. Amen. I needed that closed door, right? Yeah. So then I ended up going back to jail, third felony conviction. So now I'm fighting these charges. My wife, she was my wife at the time, she was a backsliding Christian. She used to travel with me dealing with the cartel and all of that. But see, when her son was born with that disease, she knew where to go. I have religion. I never had a relationship. I was raised Catholic. My grandmother was just a charismatic Catholic that spoke in tongues and all of that. And at times, she had Catholic faith and, you know, so she was seeking, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, so she started going to church by herself. So whatever woman's watching this, if he don't want to go to church, you take the initiative and you go to church. Amen.
Right.
You get filled. Amen. And the more you get filled, amen, God is going to. God, he says, if you delight in him, he'll grant the desires of your heart. Don't wait for it to be in this man. It got to be in him. Amen. So anyway, she's going to church by herself. So now I'm looking at my third felony, right? I got my lawyer, Frank DeSalvo, best lawyer in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. He's been a lawyer. Like, he's the one, like he beats up, like, he's been my lawyer, right? So I go to him. Look what he tells me. He said, man, you better go to NA, AA, triple A. He said, you better
go to all the A's.
Yeah. He said, you better go to church. Yep. But not only go to church, you need to get involved in some type of programs. You got to give me something to work with because on paper, you look like a monster.
You judge that you are making a transformation.
Right. So now I'm like, hold up. All right. My girlfriend keeps telling me to come to church. My lawyer's telling me to come to church. Like, I need to go to church, right? So I started going to church on the wrong level. Like, it doesn't matter. just get in the place. I don't care why you think get in the place. You know what I'm saying? Proximity. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm going, and I remember it was White Dove Fellowship, Pastor Mike Mele, and that's still my pastor. I still have a covering, even though I'm a pastor. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I'm still accountable. I don't know who that was for, but so I'm there, and they do an altar call. Man, and look, and my girl, she's like,
that's you. You want me to go up right? there?
I'm like, man, I'm not going up there. I'm sitting. Yeah. This is a church, and I'm sitting in the last. As soon as the door opens, the first pew right here, I'm all the way in the back.
Yep.
But I knew enough to know, like, I'm not about to go up there and play with God. Like, I feel like I'm down bad in here mm-hmm. on the wrong. Well, I just smoked some weed. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, I'm not mm-hmm. going up there. So, man, I remember we got back in the car. She was so mad. She was like, why you didn't go up there? God put that whole altar call together for you. And if anybody needed it, it was you. I was like, I'm not playing with God like that. Like, if it's real, I'm going to go up there. I'm not going out. And you're going to smoke. I said, man, look, if he's that real, he could speak through weed. You know, at that time, I'll be on earth. And, man, so does poison sumac. So does poison ivy. You ain't going to roll up and smoke it. So, anyway, man, I'm talking about, like, 2 weeks later, maybe three, Pastor Anthony Marquise was sharing his testimony, and it was cutting. I'm talking about it was almost my testimony, not exactly enough for me to just, I'm feeling it. Like, I'm back there crying, bawling. They do an altar call. I'm up on my feet. I was at the altar. Nobody had to elbow me. I was drawn. I gave my life to Christ right then and there. Now, yeah, I still had things going on, but I stopped doing a lot of stuff, you know. Yeah. And then the more, so now I'm fighting these charges, but I'm going to church now. And I remember, you know, not being to church on time. I'm like, they're going to sing for like 45 minutes. We got time. But then, like, now I'm like, can't wait for praise and worship. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm building my relationship. Things are falling off. The more I'm coming to him, and I'm going back and forth to court. In the midst of that, I opened up for Kevin Gates. I opened up for VH1 Love and Hip Hop. The last thing for me to let go was the music, because I thought, like, I'm not selling drugs. I'm not cheating. These are, like, things that I knew were sin. But I didn't think music was a sin because it was legal. You know, I'm not thinking about what I'm
saying. I ain't gonna get arrested for this.
Right. So I'm like, this is good compared to where I was. But then as I was fighting the charges, and it looked like I went, God was like, now give me the music. And I was like, oh. So, you know, he didn't do it all at once. And I remember, you know, I had a situation with Manny Fresh. He was on, he did the beat. He was on the hook. We had already talked to DJ Ro, the biggest secular station down here in New Orleans, you know. So, but I had a, you know, when God told me to give him the music, you know, I told Fresh, man, I gave my life to Christ. I got to, you know, I can't do that song no more. He was like, oh, we're going to have to go back and listen to B's. It kind of like, it was a curve after that, you know. So anyway, I'm not letting nothing jeopardize this. So now I'm going back and forth to court. So now my lawyer was like, look, you got... They're gonna get we got him down to 5 years. So with the triple bill, like, so maybe you do 10 to 15 years, but with your jacket, like, it's not gonna get no better than that. So just go ahead and say your goodbyes, you know. Like, we can't pass this deal up. Now, I already did 8.5 years.
Yeah.
So another 15 years, you know, it's like I've never been there for none of my kids. And then I got this, my new kid, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, it was like, but I end up telling the kids bye. I remember, like, it was rough. Like, my son, he was just so hardened because it was like, I'm in and out their life. It's like, my little girl, I finally had her. Then my stepdaughter asking me, calling me dad because her dad's away, you know? So then I got this newborn. But I was like, you know, I told my wife, I was like, look, you don't have to wait for me. She wasn't my wife at the time. I was like, but I'm going to go in there and I'm going to serve God. I was like, I'm just going to have the best prison ministry they ever had. I'm not going to stop serving God. I was like, there's consequences to sin. I said, I'm not going to hold you to it. She was like, it's not over. I was like, he already told me, like, I'm going to take this time tomorrow. She was like, it's not over. I'm like, all right. So we go into court that day. we were all praying simultaneously over everything. I remember the lawyer, my lawyer comes in, he's like, look, I'm asking for one more continuance. You're gonna need the stars to align just right. Man, my God created the stars, and the stars are amazing, right? We got one more continuance. I got four lawyers in the room, three lawyers in the room with the criminal code and procedures. They look in and they find this landmark case where it's like, if the third felony is not a capital offense, he's eligible for a suspended sentence with the requirement he completes a one-year in-house treatment program if the DA is in compliance. So all of these things, right? So then I suspend the sentence. I'm like, I'm trying to do boot camp. They wouldn't accept me. I'm trying to do drug court. They wouldn't accept me. You know, so every door was being closed. I go to church early, and there's a graduation going on. I'm like, what is this? The church that I'm going to, they got a one-year in-house treatment discipleship program.
Look at God.
You heard me? I'm like, what? Look, so then I meet with the director. He's like, look, we're not supposed to accept like people with violent, with violent charges, criminal histories, or aggravated charges. We're not equipped for that. He said, but the Holy Spirit's telling us to give you a chance. But we're not playing no games with you. You bring any of that gang stuff in here, we're kicking you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're giving you this chance because the Holy Spirit. Basically, he's saying, I don't want to do it, but I'm not going to go against the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I get in the program. We go back to court. And the DA's looking. And then the higher Paul Connick himself granted that I get sentenced mandated by the court. So in my minutes, it said, look, they sentenced me to the program. Basically, I got sentenced to the church, mandated by the court with a stipulation. If I get kicked out, if I leave, they vacate the sentence, take me back to trial on the initial charge and triple bill me. So there's no more deals. If I go to this program and get kicked out, I get 30 to 40 years now. You know what I'm saying? So it's like God pulled the Red Sea of the Louisiana judicial system. Mm. You heard me? I went in there. That was my promised land. You know what I mean? So now I see he's real. Like, it's no question. So I was on the wrong team. So I changed jerseys. You know, I switched sides real quick. And I went into that program, man. And I wasn't only reading the Bible. Like, now it's like, this is the keys to life. You know what I'm saying? And I still had my son born with the disease. So God just began to move in different areas of my life. And man, it was 1 year intensive, like Holy Ghost boot camp. I got married the day I got out the program in my mama's backyard. Wow. Like the main thing, the main thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's dope. Man, that's incredible, bro. I didn't even know all them details about your story. I knew some of it, but man, thank you for like unpacking that, sharing that. So now you out, you beat that last case miraculously, you in this program, you got married. So then what did it look like, man, to then say, I feel called to plant a church. I feel called to pastor a church. Right there in the hood in New Orleans. And so how did that all happen? And then when did the church officially launch?
Okay. So then, all right, so I get out the program 2014. So in the midst, right before I got out the program, I remember fasting and praying because I didn't know what I was going to do when I got out. I was like, you know, like, God, what am I going to do? Like, what's my call? You know what I'm saying? So then, and I remember, like, he gave me the music back because I gave the music up and everything, like, no agenda. It was like, Paul, like Saul turning to Paul, what shall you have me do? Like, not I want to be a Christian rapper. I want to be a pastor. Like, no, what do you want me to do, God? You know, I'm planted here at this church. I'm cleaning toilets. I'm doing whatever he's telling me to do. So he gave me the music, but he's like, the music is going to be a platform to minister my word. So then I get out the program. I get married. I start going to the juvenile facility. You know, God was giving me music when I was in there. I started recording the music. Then I had got with Messiah Music that was under Kingdom Music. I met with Brother Brian in Houston. You know, we did three songs, two songs on my first project. So then I'm with Messiah Music. And as I'm going with them, moving around, it was like God was calling me to start One Accord. But it was like, this was moving. Like, we're doing big shows, we're traveling. And God's like, no, I want you to step aside here and I want you to start One Accord with your wife. I'm like, she don't rap? Like, this is popping over here. Like, what am I supposed to talk with her? Like, not knowing, we see in part, we prophesying part. So then I stepped aside from that. We started One Accord. And it was, again, we was doing evangelism. So as we was doing it, I'm working a job. You know what I'm saying? The job was a blessing. It was a good job, but I did not like it. It was like I was a diesel mechanic helper, forklift operator. So it was like I was doing everything nobody wanted to do. I was the bottom, right?
So
40, 50 hours a week. And then on my vacation days, I'm taking it to do ministry. On my weekends, I'm doing ministry, you know? So it was like, man, the desire was full-time ministry. And then it was like, man, I remember they was taking communion at the church. And it was like, you know, go before God if you have any unforgiveness in your heart. And it was like, man, I don't play with that unforgiveness. Like, when people offend me, I hurry up and throw it to God. It's like hot potato. They come and I throw it. You know, I don't want nobody to hinder my spiritual growth. You know, so I'm like, well, God, you know, I forgive, you know, like. But you know, the desire is my heart is full-time ministry. And he's like, is it really a desire? And when he said that, see, this difference between wanting something and having a desire for something. When you have a desire, you're going to violently pursue that desire. It's not just a want, it's a desire. And he was telling me to start a Bible study in my living room, to start not even a Bible study, to start a church in my living room. And I was like, man, he was like, you didn't do the last thing I told you to do. So I'm thinking, I'm already doing big shows. I was already preaching at different churches. You know, I'm a part of a big church. So I'm thinking it's going to look like me getting up under somebody else's ministry that's already established, to where I don't have to give it. You know, it's like getting up under somebody. Yeah. You know, it's a different, you know, it's a different responsibility when you're the senior pastor, you know. So it's like, he's told me to start it in the living room. So I started on a Wednesday, 5 people. Then the next week, it was like 10. It kept doubling. Then the next week, it was like 15. Then the next week, it was 30. Then now we had these high school kids. It was like, now we got 30 to 40 people in my living room. We're baptizing in the kiddie pool. We casting demons out in the bathroom. You heard me? Like, it was crazy. Wow. Like, and it was quick. And then my wife was like, we need to get a spot. Like, you know,
what year was that, bro?
This was 2016.
Okay.
October 2016, we started in my living room. So then and we was on a crusade. So then in the midst of that, man, I'm talking about that's a whole nother testimony, the way God moved. But it was like we was down to like I'm talking about. The last crusade was like, look, we're going to have to fast when we go out here because we just got enough money to get out here. You know what I'm saying? God was just checking our obedience, you know, because it was like that last stop, he opened up the floodgates. And it was like just supernatural. People driving 4 hours said God told them to sow this seed, you know, and then it was like it was God. So then we had enough to get a down payment, to get a build, to get a storefront, right? Just that. We didn't have enough just to pay the first and last month's rent to get into place. No pews, no speakers, no nothing. I was like, look, I talked about, we don't need speakers. We just need the space. People hungry, you know, man. So we just had enough to get the building. And I'm talking about in the midst of that, man, I call a dude about pews. And next, his number was already locked in my phone. Come to find out, I met him 3 years ago at a coffee shop. Saved his number in my phone, but we never made the connection until this time. He remembered, so he's like, I was selling these pews because we refurbished them, but at this point, God's telling me to give you the pews. So he gives me the pew. Wow. So then somebody from Miami mailed me the pulpit that I had to put together. Then from Houston, the guy drives down with the drums and some speakers. Then a guy pro-life ministry calls me. I heard you opening up a church. I got these speakers. Lady comes in. While we painting and doing, she comes in off the street, Pastor Andy, old lady. I was like, yes, ma'am. She was like, I've been watching your tapes. I'm like, Tay, I don't got tapes. But she's talking about the internet.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's what they say.
So she was like, and God told me, you know, to sow this into your ministry. And it was enough to get the internet, to get the computer, to get the lights. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing came together supernatural.
Man, that's beautiful.
We had the storefront. And then 7 months later, we
what
had
year was got, that by the time you got your storefront?
2017.
Okay, so 16 you started, 17 you got the actual spot, out your crib now. Wife is happy, like, there's too many people in my house.
And you know, like, bro, I come from the streets. I had my address on Facebook, like the flyer.
That gets a little crazy when you got a big crowd coming.
Yeah, I'm talking, some people will pull up and like, we're looking for the church. And I'm like, oh, this is the church. And they kept going.
Yeah,
like,
all right, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. So, that was a miracle in itself, you know, because, you know, the righteous are bold as lions. You know what I'm saying? When a man's ways is pleasing to the Lord, he'll make even his enemies at peace with him. You know, so I was activating those promises. So then 7 months later, we got the storefront on side of the storefront and started the kids ministry. So then 2018, 19, we ended up getting this land. We got 1.4 acres now. You know, we just did another addition to the building, you know. So, man, that was all supernatural. We didn't have the finances to do that. Like, God literally did it. You know what I'm saying?
That's beautiful, man.
We've been here ever since.
That's beautiful, man. That's crazy. So even as you're now, let's shift gears a little bit. We got to land the plane in a couple of minutes. But now as you're pastoring the church, it is growing. You got this land. I know you made an addition. You were telling me y'all was running out of space on Sundays. We was talking about, you know, doing multiple services and all that stuff. Like, at the same time, you were doing music for the Lord now. And that was like, so you're wearing both hats. You know, like I always like to make the joke to say the Apostle Paul, he made tents to support his ministry. Me, I rapped. You know, it kind of helps, you know, we got that calling on us, but then it also helps support, you know, the ministry when a lot of times the church is smaller and the church can't even give you like a salary or much of a salary. And you're just trying to keep the lights on and keep everything going and do outreach. So, you know, a lot of times in urban ministry, I know a lot of urban ministry leaders are watching this, like, we got to be entrepreneurial. We got to find other streams of income to support what we do. And it could be challenging. It could be hard because it's so much easier if you could just be full time at a church and that's the only you get paid from that. And that's all you have to do and focus on. But, you know, for a lot of us in urban ministry, man, God wired us for this. He built us differently. And so, man, I've watched God over the years just provide in so many different angles and so many different ways. And he's faithful, man. He provides. And so you, as you're doing the church, you're also doing the music. So talk a little bit about the music journey. And then even, like, I know you got a new single that just dropped. You got some new stuff coming out. So talk about Andy Rebirth, the artist, for a few minutes, man. Where can we hear some of the music, too, the new stuff?
Okay, so we just released the Amazing Grace that on 9/11. You know, it's my wife's on there on the chorus, and then Sister Roxy. She's also.
So she is doing music now. See, at first it was like, my wife don't rap, but she sings.
And she could sing, you know, and she broke out of that. Like, she's the worship leader now. And, you know, she wears many hats. So she's the worship leader. She does the children's church, you know. Then she's like my personal assistant, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to her.
She's pregnant again. You know, we got a little girl coming in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
So God's faithful, man. But yeah, the Amazing Grace, man, is available on all digital platforms. My other projects are available on all digital platforms. If you could just Google Andy Rebirth, everything pops up. iTunes, Spotify. I had the interview on Off the Porch. That's a big secular podcast. You know, I was able to go sit down with them in Atlanta. And, you know, I did a whole altar call on that show. You know, so God's being glorified. We're doing the music. You know, I got a couple people featured on this new project. You know, I got a track from Brandon Trejo. I got Brian's jumping on it. I got Gifted on it. Got Favor on it. I got Dunk, you know, Lil Boosie's cousin. You know, he's a pastor now. Yeah. Fireman, got Fire Testimony. He's jumping on it. You know, so we just been going in with the music, and the music really, you know, because people book me. You know, I do a lot of evangelism, but they book me not only to rap, but to preach. And sometimes people are like, well, I'm booking you. What does this consist of? Like, we wanted you. I was like, what do you want me to do? They was like, well, I didn't want to pull on you too much, but if you could preach too, I'm like, look, when I come, you get everything that's inside.
You get the whole package.
It's not like I'm
you the double threat. Rapping and like, preaching.
Come on, you know, when we get Jesus, he don't cap, you know, like we get
I'm
all
the same
of
way, bro. When I go somewhere, they're like, I'm like, look, you got me for the day. If you want to do a leadership training as well, like I'm just there to pour into you guys. I'm all Amen. Yours. Let's go. This is kingdom.
Let's go. Amen.
It ain't and like, that's well, you want is. This, it's this amount. Then you want to add that option and this amenity. And like the price keeps going up. No, like
right.
I'm there.
Nah, that's me, awesome. I'm there. I'm ready to pour out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's beautiful, bro. Well, we are excited, man, because we got you coming to Flavor Fest this year. You're going to be doing a workshop on church planting and talking about the grind of urban church planting and sharing just what you've been learning. And, man, so tell everybody the name of your church, too, and, like, what the website is, so where people can go to kind of check you guys out. And tell me what you're most excited about right now with the church.
Okay. So the website is www.oneaccordministries.net. You know, so you could, that's our website. One Accord, we got One Accord on Instagram. You know, we got One Accord Ministries on Facebook. You know, Andy Rebirth on all the other handles, and everything's linked together. You know what I'm saying? What else you asked me about?
I was asking, what are you most excited about right now with the church, man, like in this season? What are you guys up to right now that's got you like amped up?
So it's a lot going on right now because, you know, God has pruned his church, you know, God has removed, like God's doing it. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about like some of the people that have been coming, like really stepping up, you know, like actually seeing them moving their gifts, seeing other people that were backsliding back and on fire for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then, is you know, we got a program coming. And then just with Frank, there's an outpatient program that's being recognized by the court system that's coming out of this house here. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited, like, about starting the program, about this outpatient program that's being recognized. I'm talking about, brother, I was in Division K, the same division that I was looking at a life sentence in. Now I'm coming back. May I approach the bench, Your Honor? Like, I'm a lawyer, you hear me?
She's going
every. You hear me? Like, I'm like, man, only God can take a life and flip it around like that. Dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I'm excited to be out there with y'all, you know, like that Flavor Fest. Like, you talked about gumbo when we started, and when you said that, I was like, that's what Flavor Fest is, gumbo. Because gumbo, a lot of different ingredients and flavor that comes together, and it tastes so good. And that's what God, you a chef, man. You whooping up gumbo with Flavor Fest, right? You know, because you go there and it's just so much different genres of Christian rap, and then, you know, you'll be in the hallway connecting with other people, with other ministries, and then it's just like, it's a beautiful thing that God's you giving you the vision to execute, man, or you the visionary of. And thank I'm excited bro. About being with y'all. I'm excited about connecting with other like-minded soldiers.
Yeah.
I'm just, man, look, when you give your life to Christ, it's exciting. Like,
it's
I don't
journey, man. It's an adventure every day.
Yeah.
Every day, man. Yeah, man. One of the things you said earlier, man, that stuck out in our conversation is you were talking about like the gang culture is so divided. Then you got in the church and you found it so divided as well with denominations. And then even within the same denomination that believes and thinks the same way, they're still all divided and in competition. And so one of the things with the gumbo of Flavor Fest is, man, our big heart has always been bringing everybody together in unity. God has just used me as one of my gifts is like, I'm a connector. I like to connect people together. I like to introduce people. Oh, you need to know. You do what? You need to know so-and-so. Oh, this, you need to know Andy Rebirth because, you know, you guys could relate. He can help you with this, or y'all got similar stories. And then I love Flavor Fest, and we intentionally bring all kinds of different artists together, different styles, different ministry styles, people from different theological camps, people with different methods to bring them all together to say, man, like, we might not agree on all some of the minor things, but man, we can agree on the majors. We can work together. We can take ground for the kingdom. We can encourage each other. We can learn from one another. We can inspire one another. And that's really what Flavor Fest is, man. It's like a big family reunion of people that do urban ministry from around the country in all kinds of different ways, man. We got pastors, there's church planters, okay. There's artists, there's entrepreneurs, there's people that run nonprofits, there's people that are volunteers at their church, leaders at their church, lay leaders at their church, youth pastors, youth workers, outreach leaders, and just a variety of all those different people coming together. And the beautiful thing, Andy, you felt it last year, like, it's our tribe. Like, yeah. Sometimes we go to other church events and we feel like we stick out like a sore thumb because everybody does it. You come in rocking your hat. I'm coming in there with the style we have, and people are looking at us like, what are you doing here? You know, well, I do this, and they still don't get it. But, man, when you're at Flavor Fest, like, it's our tribe. Everybody is doing similar work, and everybody, you know, gets it and has similar passions. And so, listen, so y'all, you need to come tap in. Flavorfest.org has got the details. The workshops are up on the website. Most of them are up, the descriptions, but Andy's going to be doing a workshop. There's going to be some great workshops for church planters, for entrepreneurs, for artists. There's a track for women in ministry, track for next generation ministry at your church. So your youth ministry, your kids ministry, you need to get those volunteers from your team to come and get poured into. We're going to do a big outreach on Saturday afternoon as well. And, of course, the concerts are going to be fire. So it's going to be an incredible weekend. And you get to you can meet Andy in the hallway, hang out with him, chop it up, break some bread. We feed you some good food that weekend as well. And our coffee shop is under construction right now. And so you're going to see a lot of changes in our lobby. As I'm talking right now, they're cutting, like, holes in the cement to put the footers in. Next week, the steel's getting here. They're going to start putting up the second level of seating. It's going to be built out of steel. So, man, it's going to be an exciting year, yo. It's going to be exciting. So, but hey, Andy, I got a big announcement to make. But before I do, I want to ask you, bro, to pray for us really quick, man. I always like to ask my guests just to pray for all the leaders and all the people that are watching, man. Kind of seal this session, and then I'm going to give us this last huge announcement that's a win. So, man, thank you for your time today, bro, for sharing your story, man. Love your heart, and glad that the Lord connected us, man. So, man, pray for us, bro.
Thank you, brother. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We give you all honor, praise, and glory, for you alone are worthy of it. Father God, we just thank you for this space that you've given us, that you've provided. Father, I just thank you for the obedience of Urban D, Father. I thank you for the vision that you've given them, for where there's no vision, the people perish. You've given the man of God vision, Father God. Mm. So we thank you that things are being birthed and coming alive, and there's a rebirth and a rebranding that's occurring as we're being transformed in your image from glory to glory. Mm. Father, I pray for everyone that's watching right now, whether it's live or whether they're going to watch it later on, Father. I speak a peace be upon them that surpasses all natural understanding. Father, I pray for the seed of the word that went forward, Father God, that it fell upon fertile soil and it shall produce fruit. We rebuke the devourer. Coward devil, you cannot steal a seed that forward to. We declare and decree that it went forward into fertile soil and shall produce great fruit. Father, have your way in our lives and through our lives. Direct our steps along with our stops. Lord, we give you all the honor, praise, and glory. Increase our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding, our discernment, and give us a greater hunger for the things of the Lord. For your word says, when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. I speak of filling over everyone until it overflows. In the almighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bro, I felt like, man, we was at church a little bit today, man. You was preaching today, dropping some bars, man. All right, so cool. Everybody, here's the big news, man. I'm super excited about it. I've been amped all week since it happened. I got invited to come to this thing by Exponential. They're a big church planting and church resourcing organization, really like the biggest in the world. And I've been a speaker at their conference in Orlando. There's like 5,000 people there every year. I've been doing that for years. So I love what they do. But they started this new thing called Next Ventures. And almost like like a company comes and gets venture capital, they said, man, we want to fund ministry initiatives that are like cutting edge and they're the next thing in the church world to reach, you know, people that the church isn't always reaching. And this is new innovation, right? So they asked me to apply for Flavor Fest and the tour that we were doing, how we're going around in an innovative way. We're training urban church leaders around the country. So there was about 100 organizations that applied to be part of this. And 11 were chosen to come to North Carolina and come to like a pitch event. So I had to go and pitch. And bro, I only had 7 minutes. 7 minutes to pitch about what it was. Couldn't use any video, any slides. I just had to get up there and speak and talk about what we do, share some stories, share some results, share the passion. And man, God was with me, bro. And of course, I had to end with a couple bars, man. I had to do a little acapella piece at the end. And bro, so everybody, if you came, you got $2,000, but the top three would get additional money. So first place was $25,000. Second place was $20,000. Third place was $15,000. I'm like, Lord, just give us one of those three spots that'll really give us a big boost. $2,000 is nice, but that would really be great. And, bro, yeah. I am here to, like, happily announce and celebrate we got second place.
So let's go.
Second place, we got $20,000 that's going to go towards the Flavor Fest tour next year. And we're going to be going back to New York City. We're going to go to Los Angeles. We're going to be going to Chicago probably next year. That's new. And going back to Houston again. Houston ain't too far from me, bro. We had some people drive over from the NO. So, but yeah, man. So stay tuned. But we're super excited about that. God has given favor. Flavor Fest has been around for over 2 decades. And we're just in a season of, like, instead of, like, settling or going down or fizzling out, like, man, we've just been in a season of growth and reaching even more people. And we got some big announcements about next year. I can't quite tell you yet publicly, but that $20,000 I can tell you. But there's other stuff about 2024 with the tour that's going to, like, just make it exponentially bigger and reaching so many more people, man. So stay tuned. Stay tapped in.
All right.
Well, man, love you, brother. And, man, I will see you soon, man. I will see you soon. So everybody, flavorfest.org, come hang out with me and my man Andy Rebirth in Tampa, Florida. In the meantime, we'll be back with another episode soon, every Friday. Until then, man, God bless you guys. Peace.
Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.